Wisconsin's Afternoon News is on the air, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Here are your hosts, Greg Matzik and Julia Fellow.
So happy you're with us, Greg.
Happy to be here. Thank you very much on a Monday.
Standing the whole time.
I'm a stander. I'm definitely, my watch buzzes off every like 20 minutes when I'm not standing, so I'm listening to my watch and I stand now and then.
Awesome. You have milk in your home, I'm assuming?
We do. We sure do.
So do we. Sam has oat milk. Thank goodness.
Okay.
All right. So bird flu has been infecting dairy cows all over the country. This has been big news. Now we're hearing from the Food and Drug Administration that one in five commercial milk samples that they tested in a nationwide survey contains particles of bird flu. There's a doctor that spoke on ABC News, Dr. Jennifer Ashton, about the impact of this. Take a listen.
We've been tracking over the last few years infections in poultry, sea mammals, most recently dairy cows, and one human case recently in this country, mild. The milk supply, pasteurized, which is 99% of our milk supply in this country, now showing some fragments of this avian bird. So right now, and I recently spoke to a very senior official with the CDC about this. She said the overall risk to the general American population is low, particularly from dairy cows. However, quote unquote, they are taking this very seriously.
The dairy industry is so important to our state, Greg, as everybody knows, really the world. The Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation says 90% of the milk produced in Wisconsin is used to produce cheese, and 90% of that cheese is sold outside of the dairy state. A $45.6 billion economic impact in this state every year. Though the risk to humans is low, as you heard, it sounded the alarm bells for farmers like Kyle Zwig, who owns a 70-cow farm just north of Oconomowoc, and I asked him how this could have happened in the first place.
Obviously, cattle are you know, outside and have access to outdoors, so there is interactions with other animal species. You know, it apparently must have been through some type of bird-cow interaction or commingling.
His farm, Zwig Maple Acres, is his livelihood, and he's concerned about those infections spreading, as we've seen.
If you would see something like that in the dairy industry, it would be catastrophic.
So this is what we know now, Greg. Initial reports show the USDA shows the effects of bird flu on a cow could cause a lack of appetite, causing the lack of lactation process. Now, there's a very low chance it could spread to humans, especially with the pasteurization process, which involves heating liquids to high temperatures for short periods of time to kill harmful bacteria. Zwig has been researching it, and he has been talking to other dairy farmers who say if one cow contracts the flu, there's a chance that it goes to the whole herd. So we will be following this. The dairy industry employs more than 100,000 people in our state alone. So we'll be keeping a look at that.
Yeah, ground beef comes to mind too, right? Mm-hmm. I know the USDA is going to be testing that. Oh. Milk is a big one, but ground beef is obviously a byproduct of cows, and that's something you got to pay attention to also.
I didn't think of that. All right, up next, Brewers play-by-play broadcaster Lane Grindle joins us as Brew Crew gets ready to play Tampa Bay Rays.
So there's quite a buzz at American Family Field over the weekend. This happens from time to time when teams that don't commonly come to Milwaukee come to Milwaukee, right? So the Yankees are one of those polarizing teams in sports. You either love them or you hate them. And there was a great combination of both at the ballpark over the weekend. Unfortunately, Julia, New York is a very good team. They took 2 of 3 against the Brewers. Thrilling win for the Brewers on Friday. And now you dismiss the Yankees, you welcome in the Tampa Bay Rays, and we welcome in Lane Grindle, who is at the ballpark getting ready for tonight's game. Hello, Lane.
Hey, Lane, can you hear us? I don't think we can hear
Lane. We'll work on our connection with Lane. I can hear the ballpark. I can definitely hear the ballpark, all so right. I know something is going on. Maybe Lane's cooking some hot dogs or getting some of that Cedar Crest ice cream. But it was a crazy game over the weekend on Saturday in which everything looked like it was going to be tight, a very close game, and then one kind of questionable call would have gotten the Brewers out of the inning, and then all of a sudden the Yankees scored 7 runs.
Hang on, Lane. Can you hear us?
Yep, I can hear you now. Yep.
Hey, there we go. Hey, Lane.
Yeah.
There we go.
You're just finishing up batting practice, right?
Yeah, I was finishing up batting practice. Yeah. Today was my day to get some swings in. So,
well, that's good.
A little sore, but, you know.
at the rate injuries are piling up, they might need you.
Oh, boy. Let's hope it doesn't get to that. That wouldn't be good for anybody.
Let's start with a bit of a status update. Is there a kind of a timetable on, I guess I look at Christian Yelich first and foremost, because he appears to be getting at least closer, stepping in the right direction.
Yeah, I think he's trending in a good direction. But backs always go slower than you want them to. That's the problem, right? And so he's starting to do a little bit more activity on the field, some running. He played catch a couple of days ago. So that's a good sign. I still don't think we're, like, inside of days at this point. I think we're probably looking at weeks before Yelich is back in there. I would think as well he's going to have to go get some at-bats somewhere, whether that's Appleton or Nashville when he does come back. So still going to be a little bit of time before Christian's back, because with that back issue, the one thing you don't want to do is rush it and have it get tweaked right away again, and then you're back to square one. I think the important thing is to make sure when you do bring him back that he is 100% good to go, because it's a long season and he's a really important part to this team. And they've really survived this stretch without him in very good fashion, which is a great sign, and it speaks to the depth of this team. And we know that that depth has been tested mightily through the first month of the season.
Lane, I don't want to take anything away from the Yankees, because I do think they're one of the best maybe three or four teams in all of baseball. But it felt like the series really could have gone the Brewers' way. I know the final scores of games on Saturday and Sunday may not indicate that, and it's probably an optimist point of view, but it felt like it was there for the taking. It got a little haywire with sort of a chaotic sequence that led to seven runs for New York.
Yeah, I think you're right when you say that. I mean, Saturday was the Yankees flexing their muscles and having a really good day. I thought yesterday could have gone the other direction if a few things don't go the way that they went. I mean, that was a very consequential play in the sixth inning. I think a lot of people will see that different ways, but the most important thing is that Andy Fletcher, the crew chief, said afterwards they looked at the video and they felt they got it wrong after looking at the video. And I give them a lot of credit for coming out and saying that. I think that takes some guts to come out and say that, and it's a tough call because it's a judgment call in the moment. But it certainly had a big impact on that game when it was all said and done. There's no question about that. So I thought the Brewers should be really excited about what they've seen so far from Tobias Myers specifically. He pitched very well in Pittsburgh. I thought the way he attacked a really good Yankees lineup, it's a dangerous way to live. But you don't have a great way to live against that Yankees lineup. I mean, if you want to try to pitch backwards, that can really bite you too. So I thought his ability to compartmentalize who he was facing, be himself yesterday, and yes, he gave up four runs, but I thought he threw the ball better than that. He really made two mistakes in that game. I thought that was a silver lining from yesterday's game for sure for the Brewers. And look, these are games that happen. These are stretches that happen. It's only a two-game stretch, by the way, as well. And every team in baseball, including the team that wins the World Series, is going to have some games like the last 2 days have been. Look for the Brewers to get up off the mat here in this series against the Rays and try to get this series and then set themselves up for a big one in the division against the Cubs this weekend.
Yeah, so you drop 2-3 against the Yankees. Yeah, a lot of good players are just not available right now for a variety of reasons. And, oh, by the way, the Brewers are still a first-place team 27 games into the season. It's certainly not all doom and gloom. In fact, it's rather impressive that they're on top of this very competitive division. I know we're just, you know, about a month into the season, but with all the adversity, it's been an impressive start, I think, overall.
I totally agree. I think the thing that stands out to me about this group, this is a really simplistic way to look at it, but they're very young, as we know. I mean, this is one of the youngest teams in baseball. And the thing that I have been impressed with, and I think it's a capitalization on the youth and the youth being infectious with some of the veterans as well, is that I feel like this team really competes on every single pitch. And again, that's a really simple way to look at it, but I think it's helped this team in a lot of close games, in games where they've been down and been able to at least put the tying run at the plate late. I think that is one of the reasons why it's a very competitive bunch that is in a good place with each other and loves playing the game together. I've always felt like that matters a lot in this game because you're at the ballpark together so much, and I think it's been one of the key ingredients to this Brewers' success over the last 7 or 8 years, has been that fact, that they like playing together. And now you have a really young team that's scrappy and has a lot of fight in them. And I think it's a good formula to continue to win and take it as a challenge when guys get hurt. Nobody wants the injuries that have piled up on the Brewers, but take it as, okay, we believe in the next guy up, and we think he can get the job done. And it's worked so far. There's no doubt about that.
All right, real quick, who's the leader in the clubhouse on the Cedar Crest ice cream crushing of the season? Which broadcaster is eating more?
Ah, that is a good question. I think I'm in good shape for sure, and I don't mean in good physical shape. I think I'm in good shape in that contest. A lot of Cedar Crest. It's just part of the routine here at the ballpark. So the other thing is, and we don't have this at the ballpark, but I could probably change that, is the Pine River cheese spread is that's the real deal, too. I mean, that is really been a nice compliment to the Usingers. I mean, that is a trio. We say that on the air, and you probably don't realize that we mean it, because we have a lot of that product at our homes and at the ballpark, and we use it. It's great.
Perfect way to kick off a nice homestand continuation against the Rays tonight. Lane Griddle on the broadcast of tonight's game. Thank you, Lane.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
You bet. Our coverage gets underway after the 6 o'clock news. Out with the Yankees, in with the Tampa Bay Rays. A first-place team leaves. A last-place team comes in. Still a good team. Don't be fooled by the record. 425 on WTMJ. We'll get you a market update in a moment.
Wisconsin's afternoon news on WTMJ.
So many counties in the Milwaukee area got an F for unhealthy air pollution. The American Lung Association's Will Barrett, he's a National Senior Director on Clean Air Advocacy, joins us on Wisconsin's Afternoon News. Will, thank you for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Awesome. So can you tell me, why did the lakeshore, like Kenosha, Milwaukee, Ozaukee, Door County, why did we all get an F with our air pollution?
Well, one of the key things to note is that while there is an F grade in this year's report, it's actually improved quite a bit over the 25-year history of the state of the air report. So we're not all the way there to getting to clean air for every day, but we've made tremendous progress. And, you know, part of the challenge is the ongoing increases in extreme heat and other factors related to climate change are making the job of cleaning our air more difficult.
So what do you do to make sure that it keeps going in the right direction here? What are some simple things, everyday things, that folks can do?
Well, a lot of the ozone pollution, for example, comes from transportation sources. So anything we can do to reduce our own personal pollution is going to help. So carpools, combining trips, transit if it's available and accessible, those kind of things are really important. And then on top of that, looking into zero emission technologies, not just for passenger cars, but transit buses and heavier duty vehicles as well.
So when we talk about high ozone days, what's the cause of high ozone days?
Well, ozone is a colorless, odorless gas that forms on hot, sunny days. And, essentially, tailpipe emissions and other pollutants are mixing in the atmosphere and turning into this sort of corrosive gas that can have the effect of a sunburn on the skin, but on your lungs and your lung tissue. So it's associated heavily with hot, sunny days, or sometimes called summertime smog is what ozone's referred to.
So if we don't take care of this, let's just say we just go as is, what could happen, Will, to our health?
Well, ozone causes a wide range of health consequences. It can be anything from sort of minor irritations and difficulty breathing to asthma attacks, heart attacks, and, you know, again, a wide range of impacts, and especially that's concerning for about 27,000 kids in the area with living with asthma. There's about 175,000 adults living with asthma in the region, and even one day of unhealthy air can set off health emergencies, so that it is a serious issue.
So there's high ozone days, pollution that we need to worry about. There's also researchers in your study saying climate change is making the job of cleaning up air more difficult. Can you describe why?
Sure, there are a few factors. So we talked about ozone having being formed on hot, sunny days. So to the extent we're seeing extreme heat events, those are the perfect conditions for ozone or smog to form. But there's also the hotter, drier conditions that are pushing more and more catastrophic wildfires that, you know, we've seen what happens when these fires get out of control and they blanket millions and millions of people with particle pollution or fine particles in the smoke. And that's really one of the key symptoms of climate change that's threatening health. And one of the reasons that a lot of the Midwest especially has seen in recent years spikes in particle pollution impacting local air quality.
So it's a fascinating topic, Will. I think we all got introduced to it last summer when we'd have these air quality days that would cancel activities, baseball games, soccer games, and practices, right? We all learned about the AQI and, you know, what was acceptable and what was unacceptable. I don't know if that's, you know, it forged in the minds of everybody, but it certainly was an eye-opener, I think, for so many last year, the things that you talk about in Research Daily.
That's right. You know, we see it as a real wake-up call. There are alarm bells going off, however you want to put it. When you do have those days that are so unhealthy that, you know, daily activities have to be canceled, we just have to remember that there are a lot of people who are vulnerable to the air pollution, you know, challenges on a daily basis because of asthma or COPD or heart disease that are at significant risk even at lower levels. So, again, while it's a major wake-up call, it is something that a lot of people experience and are at risk due to more frequently. But again, when we see those wildfire-filled skies or smoke-filled skies, it really is, it gives us pause and makes us really consider what we have to do to protect ourselves.
Last question here. So if there is a high pollution day, like a big warning about that, an ozone danger day, what should I do? Should I just stay inside, or am I, in all intents and purposes, not in a good spot anywhere?
Well, one of the key things is to reduce your exposure. So to the extent you can stay indoors and keep that unhealthy air from getting in, that's really important. There's also, you know, tools through local agencies that can help identify when the pollution might be rising. Ozone or smog tends to get worse as the day goes on and those pollutants mix in the hot weather. So you basically can look at when the ozone, for example, or particle pollution is going to be projected to be higher and really take extra caution at that point, and extra caution for children or seniors or people with heart or lung conditions that make them more vulnerable.
Will Barrett, National Senior Director for Clean Air Advocacy for the American Lung Association, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
All right, coming up next, Dustin Gotsky, the Bucks Chief of Sales and Marketing. He's going to join us, and we're going to talk about the do or die. There's still some tickets available for Game 5. We'll talk to him coming up.
Craig and Julia with you. It's Wisconsin's Afternoon News on a Monday. John will be back sometime next week. And hopefully the Bucks are still playing at this point. They are back after losing back-to-back games against the Pacers. But another home game is on the horizon. Chance to steady the ship here on Tuesday night. It's a late start, 8:30, the tip time at Fiserv Forum. Our coverage will get underway at 8 o'clock. And big doings anytime the Bucks are in playoff mode at Fiserv Forum. For more, we welcome in Dustin Gotsky, Bucks Chief of Sales and Chief Marketing Officer. Hello, Dustin.
Greg, how are you?
You're doing well. Time to rally the troops, right? Fiserv turned out, no doubt, on games 1 and 2. Game 1, of course, a win. And your time to prepare now for game 5. So what can fans expect who are heading down to Fiserv tomorrow?
Yeah, I think it has been, you know, incredible. Both buildings, the playoff atmospheres have been amazing. You know, the first two games here at Fiserv Forum, it was, you know, as loud and as crazy as we've seen throughout these, you know, 5 years in the building of playoff crowds. It was really raucous. So we're expecting, you know, this is the time the team hasn't given up and isn't going to back down as we saw, you know, in these last two games in Indiana. And, you know, we expect to see fans are going to be in that same spirit, like you mentioned, with a late start and some time to come down to Deer District beforehand, grab some dinner, get excited and come in and hopefully push this series to a sixth game in Indiana.
Yes, please. This is win or go home or stay home, huh? So let's take a look at this. Some tickets are still available for Game 5, I hear.
Yeah, we have tickets still available. We will expect this game to sell out like the first two did and as we have throughout the regular season. But still an opportunity for fans if they want to go to Bucks.com or through the Bucks mobile app. They'll find some tickets to pick up and still be a part of that crowd tomorrow night.
And I hear there's a little gift that everybody's going to have on their chairs when they come in.
Yeah, so Yep, everybody coming in. Damian Lillard really talked about the seeing everybody with their rally towels swinging and everything as he came out to the court. So we'll be back out with rally towels for all the fans on their seats. This one is actually really cool in that it's provided by our sustainability partner at Johnson Controls, who, you know, helped us source these completely 100% recycled from plastic bottle rally towels. So not only is it great for fans to be able to be out there and get the playoff atmosphere going, but sustainable and ecological as well.
All right, so I take umbrage with Tyrese Halliburton, the Oshkosh native, saying, well, wasn't that loud at Fiserv Forum. Right? You have a major role in kind of the mood of the arena, Dustin. I would take offense to that. I would also disagree with that wholeheartedly. Man, the arena was rocking.
Yes.
It was rocking, and I will disagree with what he was saying. But look, I think Tyrese knew that he was getting ready to go back to Indiana, and he was trying to rally his crowd up to get out there and show it. You can pick at the words he said, but I think it was in the spirit of trying to get his fans ready to match or be up there with what we had. But it was absolutely incredible atmosphere. In both the games here in game one and game two. And we look forward to fans kind of meeting that challenge and coming out and making game five even louder.
Well, and tomorrow's a perfect day too. If I'm looking at the forecast here, 67, brilliant sun.
Oh, right.
With a later game, like, why not just get off work, go hang out, even if you can't get into the arena, just hang out in the Deer District, right? We know what kind of energy that whole area brings. And that's part of your challenge too, right? You're entertaining the masses. Anybody coming into that area, you want to have a little something for.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's been a great atmosphere. We've had incredible weather here so far for all of these home games. And, you know, again, tomorrow looks great. And to your point, no point in even, you know, heading back home after work. Just come down and be a part of the atmosphere that's going on. And if you don't have a ticket to the game, there's plenty of screens from the Beer Garden to Mecca to all the other bars and restaurants in the district.
And Dustin, how does the back office feel? Are there a lot of nerves right now going into tomorrow?
Playoffs is always a roller coaster. We've gone from, I think I saw somebody say, you know, in the playoffs this time of year, you win a game, you feel like you can't be beaten, you lose a game and you feel like you're never going to win again. So it's just that time of year for us. So, but we're optimistic and, you know, at this point we know we have to win tomorrow and then we see what goes from there.
So Dustin, how do you prepare for the potential of a game seven, right? I mean, if they win tomorrow, the idea that a game seven could be in Milwaukee later this week is certainly on the table. How do you do that? Because your turnaround time would be pretty quick if the Bucks were also to win game six.
Yeah, no, it is. It's this, especially as we get into the end of the first round and into to later rounds, you start really playing kind of every other day and going through. So we'll be prepared for a game seven on Saturday. So yeah, it'll be if we win tomorrow night, win Thursday, it'd be right back here Saturday, and we've got our rally towel designs all ready. We've got everything kind of in the works, and it's just getting ready to hit print and push send on everything when we know it's time to go.
Looking forward to it. Dustin Godsey, the Bucks Chief Marketing Officer. See you tomorrow, Dustin. Thanks so much for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You bet. 4:54 in WTMJ. Giannis has not yet been ruled out for tomorrow's game,
right?
And it's kind of a day-to-day thing with him.
What do you think?
My gut feeling says he will do everything he possibly can to be on the floor. I just think that's how Giannis is built. It does appear, and this is kind of reading between the lines of what I'm seeing here, but it does appear Giannis is closer to returning to the floor than Damian Lillard. That was another concern. He was in a walking boot leaving the arena last night.
Not the boot.
Now, that's a thing sometimes you do. It's sort of an overcautious approach when you have an Achilles injury or anything below the knee. So I'm sure the Bucks are trying to play it very careful with him in that if they do advance, he'd be able to return to the floor. But both injuries are kind of that nagging variety. You've got an Achilles injury with Dame. You've got a calf injury with Giannis. If you pop that thing, you really have got a big problem.
Yeah.
But you obviously need Giannis if you want to win this series. So that's kind of the middle of the ground the Bucks are in right now. It's just you'd never want to be unhealthy in the postseason.
And you think that if Giannis is not playing tomorrow,
I don't think they can win the series without Giannis.
Ugh.
They've proved they can win a game without Giannis,
yes,
and might be able to win another game without Giannis,
yes,
but I don't think they can win the series without their best player.
Oh, boy.